This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
24 after the hour here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We are out here at Jefferson's Restaurant at 15th and Wakarusa. How about this little tidbit? I told you we'd let you know if there's any more information that came down about Bob Stoops. Apparently, he bought a $2.25 million house in Chicago a month ago.
It's expensive.
What could be going on up in Chicago? Is he going to take over DePaul? They have a football program? I don't know. I don't know what Bob Stoops is doing, but it's a weird situation. 56 years old. He's hanging him up, apparently. Brian Haney joining us now, the director of the Roundball Classic, voice of the Jayhawks. You all know who he is. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Excited to be on with you.
Excited to be out here at Jefferson's. An awesome gesture by them to donate 50% of all the ticket sales. As long as you tell them why you're here to support the Roundball Classic. It's going to go directly to the event. What was the number you said you were aiming for this year? Do you guys set numbers you aim for?
We do. We're hoping for 40,000. 40,000 divided by 5 would be 8,000 for each family. We've never taken on this many beneficiary families, and so it's important that as the number of beneficiaries grows, so too does the size of the pie if you're going to be divvying it up 5 different ways. And so 40K is our goal. Last year we had a similar event that you guys were gracious enough to come out and broadcast from over at Morningstars and got $7,000 on that night because it was 100%. This year 50% out here is awesome too, but I want to be very clear. It's just the Wakarusa location. So Bob Billings in Wakarusa, that's where you want to be. If you're heading down to Mass Street, they serve the same great food. And Brandon Graham, I'm sure, would love to have you out there. But we want you out here. As Tupac used to say, West Side's the best side.
That's right.
Throw it up and come on out here on the West Side, Jefferson's West, for the next, well, really all night. We'll be here until 6 on air. But all night long, make sure you mention Roundball. And hopefully, it's my hope that we'll be able to get $3,000 or $4,000 worth of a donation because $6,000 or $8,000 worth of wings, oysters, and burgers and beer were spent. I don't normally eat this way, but I just ordered 15 wings and 3 beers just for the sake of like racking up the tab, right? Plus, I haven't eaten all day. I've been working like a dog.
Do you think you could eat 15 wings?
Oh, absolutely. You're about to find out. We're gonna have Nick Lewis do play by play.
Wait, can we do a wing eating contest? You and Cole Aldridge.
He's going to be here at 4:30. If you want to do it, he'd probably go down with that.
I'd imagine he would be the stiffest of competition, right? Is that wrong to assume that
he's
7 feet tall? I mean,
he's coming at 4:30, but he wants to go work out immediately afterwards. So that could play into my favor.
Right.
Kenny Gregory is also driving in as we speak. Kenny Gregory, you might not know this, is vegan.
Really?
So we'll have to see what vegan options they have on the menu for him.
How do you come about finding out that Kenny Gregory is vegan?
Because I promised to buy his dinner tonight. He's like, dog, don't worry about it. I'm vegan. So we'll see what they have for the vegan folks out there.
That's right. Lawrence is a progressive town. They probably got
they have a ton of vegan
veggie
options.
Burger
most places.
Every
yeah.
place has a veggie burger. So we'll get the wing eating contest down. Now, one interesting thing I've always thought about every time we do a remote at a restaurant, I would like to do an experiment where I take a shot in between each segment and just see
how downhill the show goes after that.
Or maybe not.
Harry Carey had a Hall of Fame career.
Right, exactly. And I'm sure there are more broadcasters than just him who have gotten away with it. But I'm just saying, like, maybe.
Is Greg Gurley coming on later?
We need to get him out here, right? Is he? Why isn't he suited up anymore?
He's doing color for television.
That's his excuse.
Plus, you know, he didn't want to hang 40 on these guys and embarrass them.
Well, I was talking to Billy Thomas. He's 41. We talked to him yesterday.
Yeah.
And I kind of poked the bear a little bit just to see. And I think I got him like energized for this game because I asked him, like I said, are you the greatest shooter in KU history? And he said, you know, back in my playing days, I probably would have said, yeah, I'm the greatest. But he goes, I'm older now and I've got more perspective and I'm a little humble. So, you know, I'll just say I'm happy with my numbers and leave it at that. I told him, I got you number 2. I got you behind Jeff Boshi, and I got you in a deadlock with Terry Brown. And the second I said that, he goes, well, you know, Jeff Boshi got to start for 4 years, and he wasn't playing with Paul Pierce and Jacques Vaughn and Jared Haas, and Terry Brown only played for 2 years, so I've got him in volume. So I poked the bear a little bit, and I think he's fired up about getting out there tomorrow.
I like it. He's one of those guys that's gone from player to coach back to player. It's funny. Some of these guys, they get in their upper 30s, and they think, you know what? I'm going to hang it up.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start coaching. And then they realize how much fun it is. And they realize no defense is being played at all. They're going to get off their shots. And maybe Gary Bedore or Matt Taylor write an article about him. So suddenly they kind of want to play a little bit.
Right.
So hopefully BT will get in there for 5 or 10 minutes. I just don't know how we're going to disperse the minutes. That's a question for Calvin and Bud when they come on here in about 30 minutes because they've got 34 guys to find minutes for between the two of them. And some of these guys aren't going to want to come off the floor. Others will.
Right.
Guys like Mark Randall, who will be here in the next hour as well, he told me, I might give you 2 minutes tops.
That's why I ask everybody over the age of 35, I ask them if they've given anybody a minutes limit. And most of them say yeah.
Yeah.
Like Brandon McAnderson, he's a little younger than some of the other guys, but he just for some reason he said, you know what, I'm there as a fan just like you, man. I want to sit there and watch those other guys go at it. So, but
really?
A guy like Billy Thomas, he's 41, but he didn't rely on his supreme athleticism. If he starts getting hot,
oh yeah,
then all of a sudden you got a minutes controversy on your hands.
See, it surprised me though the BMAC would say that because he's a guy that every year, 2 weeks prior to the game, he's like going through workouts, trying to shed some LBs, trying to get some shots up, trying to look his best and shoot his best on game night. And he takes this stuff seriously.
Yeah.
And for him, this is the old stomping grounds across town. Now, he's a Lawrence High Lion. This is a Free State.
And I like how you got him on an opposite team of Brady Morningstar.
Exactly. And Tyler Self, a Free State Firebirds
right.
in the mix. So I think there's still pride for those Lawrence guys to come back and play in either venue. And we'll see. We may eventually move out of the two high school venues if bigger options are made available. Not Allen Fieldhouse. They don't have AC. But if there's an expansion to another particular building on campus, we might just head that way.
We're talking to Brian Haney on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. And we were joking about this yesterday that, like, just like physically, it's going to be tough to continue to get more and more because this event is growing every year. And eventually, you're going to run out of seats on the bench, man. You're going to run out of ways to get all these guys in one gymnasium.
We're going to use the auxiliary gym at Free State. Have two games going on at the same time.
JV and varsity,
right.
Just like Friday nights.
Right, exactly. Now, you're right. I don't think we can go any more quantity-wise. And quality's getting about as good as it's going to get, too. Everybody asks about Paul Pierce, and I get it. But he's working the NBA Finals now, and I couldn't get him to fly back and forth between Cleveland and Lawrence with a Wednesday game and a Friday game.
Yeah.
Technically, he's not working on Thursday night, but we couldn't quite pull that one off.
That's okay. Is he the white whale? Is he the
oh,
one
absolutely.
Guy that
yeah.
like you're really just every year trying to think if there's a way you could get him out?
He's the guy everybody asks about, for sure. So, and the guy that just sat down, Calvin Thompson, to my right, he'll be on here in a second. You know, if we start getting these guys reaching out, it's one thing if I'm – texting or tweeting, but you get these guys reaching out. Maybe eventually the truth will be heard here in Lawrence.
Now, it'd be awesome to have Paul Pierce back. But for me personally, you know, I'm like sending a request to the DJ. Like, if you can do me a favor, see if you can get Rafe LaFrenz back in town, man.
I wrote him a personal handwritten letter because, as I understand it, he lives in LaFrencia, Iowa.
Wait.
That's not really a place, but Scott Pollard calls it that. He bought a ton of acreage up there. And the way Scott Pollard tells the story, he's just living on his farm, riding his tractor, enjoying the simple life.
He's a farmer?
I mean, I don't know how much he's actually, like, shucking corn or anything, but he's out there enjoying his LaFrencia.
Yeah.
And I got an address on him somehow. I was actually dating a girl that lived up in Iowa, and I was at this bar that was famous for these, like, 3-pound burgers. And his picture was on the wall, and, you know, asked around enough people, got an address for the guy.
No
it's
kidding.
It's funny how you stumble upon these things.
Wow.
I write him a handwritten note for Rafe LaFrenz, and I couldn't get him to come down.
Wow.
But we'll keep trying. We'll keep trying.
For me.
For
me
you.
And for the children.
Exactly.
Exactly. We're
for the kids. But we do have Drew Gooden this year.
That's awesome.
First time he's been back. Nick Collison just built the house in the Kansas City area. The dates didn't work out for him this year, but he has donated to the event every single year. And I told him, eventually, Nick, we're going to trade that donation for you actually playing. And I think that'll come whenever he officially hangs him up.
Right.
But the fact that we got Drew this year, it's my goal in the next 2 or 3 years to get all three amigos together.
Man.
Kirk, Nick, and Drew. How cool would that be?
Greatest recruiting class in the history of KU basketball?
Ooh, man.
Now, I'm sure you could just as easily say, well, whoever came in with Danny Manning.
With Wilt.
Whoever came in with Wilt. That's the greatest recruiting class ever. But if we're being realistic, if we're going pound for pound, tick for tack.
Three lottery picks.
Combined, what, 45 years of NBA experience?
No kidding. It's right up there. The one thing they don't have is the title.
Right.
You know?
Back-to-back Final Fours.
You look at Mario and Brandon Rush and Julian Wright, and there was another guy named Micah Downs, obviously. That was a pretty good class because you had three McDonald's All-Americans, and Rush would have been one. He didn't qualify right. for the Mickey D's.
He game. Probably would have been as highly touted as any of them.
But those guys got a ring. Now, they haven't had the NBA careers that those other three had, the longevity or anything like that, but it just depends what your criteria is. You might be onto something there, though. I'm not sure I'll come up with a better one top of my head than that, because what you have to factor in is not only what they become after KU, but those three guys you just mentioned gave Kansas a combined 11 seasons. A lot of the recruiting classes right. that Bill Self is going to have that are great will give Kansas a combined, like, 4 seasons with the one-and-done element to it. So you might be onto something there.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we talk about this all the time, like how to judge a team, like how to judge a team season, what they accomplished. And I don't think it's fair the way – I think some people like to look at college basketball where it's like, did you win the national championship? No. Well, then you didn't get it done. Back-to-back Final Fours with an appearance in the national championship game, it's going to be hard-pressed to find – like, yeah, the 08 guys, they won a national championship. But to go to back-to-back Final Fours, one of them, you go to the championship and it's a one-possession game with under a minute to go. Like, yeah. that's an incredibly accomplished yeah. class of guys.
Collison's your number two all-time scorer. He was
and Gooden might have been top three if he would have stuck around.
Well, he would have shattered every double-double record
right.
had he stayed around. Bill Bridges, rebounding marks, all that stuff, off the charts had he stayed for all 4 years. Heinrich's a guy that if you have the conversation of who's your first team all-time in KU history, who's your second team all-time, he usually comes up on that second team in the minds of most. So you're talking about three of your top 10, maybe greatest players ever, maybe three of the top 12 or 14, depending on what your criteria is.
I never looked at it like that.
I think at least two of those guys would be in the top 10, and all three would be in the third team list, you know, first, second, third team type thing. There's not many recruiting classes that have had that. But a guy that authored many great recruiting classes and some of the greatest players in the 70s and 80s for Kansas is going to be sitting in this chair in about 10 or 15 minutes. We are chauffeuring Ted Owens from Tulsa to Lawrence.
That's something
as
else,
we
man.
Speak. David Lawrence had to drop out as a coach.
Upgrade.
So we go out and recruit Ted Owens. And he's going to be at the round ball class. Hey, they just brought the wings. How about this?
Oh, my gosh.
And mac and cheese. Do I need to wait on eating these wings until Cole gets here?
Well,
Danielle's here, the lovely Danielle. She could take on me one-on-one in the wing eating competition.
Yeah, how many wings do you think you could eat, Danielle?
A whopping seven.
A whopping seven, she says.
You're good for twice that.
At least 14.
We need some stiff competition. No offense, but I think we need somebody, you know, you need to pick on somebody your own size, so to speak.
Okay.
You understand?
Calvin or Buck?
Sitting down, yeah. You guys about the same height with you sitting down. I don't know. Let's get Calvin's here. We'll take a break. We'll see, like, what Calvin, like, what he could ballpark.
Okay.
Because I don't think Bud's going to try and take you down.
Who's going to do the play-by-play? You or Nick here? You're both Knicks.
Yeah, we're both Knicks, so maybe we can tag team it. So let's take a break. We'll talk to Calvin. We'll kind of round up exactly who your stiffest competition will be, and we'll see if we can't get something off the ground. Cool?
I like it.
All right. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWM. More with Brian Haney on the other side.